We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Heat could be the team that nobody wants to play. If you remember last year, the Heat were number one in the East, and they made the NBA Finals. They were one three-pointer from being in the finals, from beating the Celtics in Game 7 on their home floor.
And the years prior to that, Mike, they made it to, they did make a final.
In the 2020 bubble. Butler drives, Martin bumps him. Boy, a lot of contact. Not that it matters now as Randall puts it in and makes it 7. Butler holding on. Mitch trying to pull it away from him. Ball deflected. Vincent throws it ahead to Martin, and that's it. Knicks dropped their second in a row. They're still in fifth in the East, but now just 2 games ahead of sixth place Brooklyn and 2 games ahead of the Miami Heat as well. And these two teams will play next Wednesday.
Unfortunately, the Knicks could not get a win for the captain tonight. I am joined by Benji Ritholtz to talk about this one. Hello, Benji. How are you?
Hey, saluting the captain. The great one. We'll miss him.
Yeah. He'll be missed not only by Knicks fans everywhere, but I think by just anybody who likes professional sports, likes the NBA, likes basketball, is a New Yorker, was around for him. So, yeah, we dedicate this postgame to his honor. Hopefully we will uphold his standards of professionalism and respectability. I'm going to try my best. Tough game. I thought this was not a game. I should start by saying this was not a game that I expected to win going in. I, for the life of me, could not imagine that the Heat were going to go down in 0-3 in the season series to us, needing the game in their own building after how not only the last one ended, but really the last two ended. And shout out to DJ Zulo put out, you and DJ Zulo put out really nice threads today. You were focused on I think what's going to be the biggest topic of this post game, which is the Knicks defense, but DJ focused on how the Knicks won their last game in Miami, which was just with extraordinary shot making. They did get some shot making tonight. Not from the usual suspects though. Quentin Grimes, I know you were excited that we finally got a Quentin Grimes game, and RJ Barrett had, I think, one of his best offensive performances. It was funny. It was quiet, but only quiet because it was just all good stuff from RJ. And then shot making wise, Brunson also had a good game, but a strange Brunson game and an offense with the, we'll talk about that. And then obviously, again, we'll get into the defense, and then just not a very good game from Julius. Let me just start with your opening thoughts, which I have a feeling I know where you're going to be going with this one.
Yeah, I think the opening thoughts have to be on the defense and the concern level that the Knicks have to be feeling with the amount of threes and percentage of threes they're giving up. But overall, the looseness and the indecisiveness and the unconnectedness of their defense right now is definitely concerning. And it kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because they had been playing much better on that side of the ball. But there's, you know, there are a few plays I could point to that were just like head scratching. Like, what are we doing? And that's team defense on the individual level. I think as the games are getting more playoff like, and teams are desperate and they're not just going to go by their like teams start planning for you when the games get more important and it's less about them going through their stuff. And what teams are starting to do now is go right at Jalen Brunson consistently and often, no matter who it is. And both Gabe Vincent and Kyle Lowry had their way with him at times. When he was switched onto others, they had their way with him. That's got to be a concern, and he's got to get better. He can't be conceding easy penetration at the very least.
So I want to go back to that in a second. What I do want to say to start, for one, as Fred Katz, I think, tweeted out a few minutes ago, this is the second straight game a team shot 57% from three against the Knicks. I'm pretty sure the Heat also shot some obscene percentage overall because they were just making a lot of shots. Like, you could have two teams, whatever. Well, you could have consecutive games against the worst defenses in the league, and you might not see teams shoot, good shooting teams, bad shooting teams, whatever, shoot 57% from three in an NBA game. With that said, if you are playing defense the way a team that is, I think we've been trying to talk ourselves into being like a dark horse contender to, like, maybe at the very least make a run to the conference finals or something. If you fancy yourself that type of team, you cannot give up 50. Like, there is something wrong if you are giving up 57% from three in consecutive games. That's number one. Number two, I just want to get it out of the way now, and you could say what you want about it before I want to get back to the Brunson overall defense thing. The refereeing was not good tonight. I thought the refereeing was definitely, it wasn't good across the board. I thought it was much worse whistle for the Knicks. Is there a world where if it was like a better whistle, the Knicks are maybe, I don't know, maybe this game comes down to the last shot or something? Yeah, I mean, I guess, but it was frustrating. It was annoying. It wasn't a good whistle. It's not what I am going to remember from this game. So, and anything on those two thoughts before we move on to back to what you said before?
No, there was a stretch there where I'm the last person. I think you and I might be the last two people to. I really don't do it because I do think this stuff evens out. But there were a couple of plays like where, you know, the Hartenstein moving screen, which like I just maybe thought was a no call. And if anything, Love kind of put his arm around Hartenstein's chest and neck area and dragged him down. And then Strus like throws like a high shoulder screen at Mitch and then pulls him down and gets the call on Mitch. And yeah, those were pivotal plays.
Pivotal stretch.
Yeah. And generally, I just didn't think the Knicks got a call in like the third and then early fourth quarter, which definitely hurt. But you can't control that stuff. And I think the more obviously like the Knicks getting into the stretch run here of the season are not going to be focusing on that. They're going to be focusing on what's going on the defensive end of the floor. And I think that's where everyone's focus should be.
Yes. And we should say, that was the other thing I wanted to say up top. Like, this was not a must win game for the Knicks. It was a game that if the Knicks won, I would be getting on here and being like, we're making the playoffs. Like, that was like that win. You won the season series against the Heat. You went up 4 in the loss column on the Heat with 8 to play. You have the tiebreaker. Like, they're going to make, I mean, unless the Nets make a miraculous run, I would have got on here and be like, we're getting the 5 seed. I still think they have a very good chance to get the 5 seed, or at the very least make the top 6, which at the very least has to be the goal. I still think the 5, it should be, without question, the 5 seed should be the goal. That said, they have now put more pressure on themselves in a couple ways. Now, either you have to beat the Heat at home, or if you don't do that, you kind of, and again, it depends on Miami and it depends on Brooklyn. Like, let's not count out the Nets. I know they've been struggling lately, but like you give yourself very little leeway. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this game tomorrow against my Orlando, a team that for nearly, I think over 4 months, because since December 7th. So yeah, over 3 months, 3.5 months, has been playing over 500 ball, and they're playing good ball lately. And they won in LA against the Clippers. They've beaten Denver. They've beaten Boston a whole bunch this year. They beat Philly. Like, this team could beat you. So, but whatever, that we'll worry about that tomorrow. Back to the defense thing. What I want to know from you is, cause I see the same thing as you with, in terms of like, they're just people are targeting Brunson and he can't stay in front of his man at the moment. And like, then you throw in like Randall and RJ who are, I don't know. RJ's been defending better. How did you think RJ defended tonight? Let me ask you that.
Didn't think he was the culprit much. You know, it's the kind of thing where you watch it back and get a better sense. But I did not think he made. I can't even think. There was one defensive play he made late in the game where he was switched on to Butler and he kind of just like opened his arms up and let him go left for a layup. And
yeah,
that was Brunson tried to take the charge. I didn't really understand that, why he turned his hips like that. Very weird. That's the one play that really stands out as a poor defensive play. I thought generally he was pretty good defensively tonight. And overall, I mean, a great game for him.
Oh, I mean, the best player of the game without question. Randall. But even Randall, it's like more the stuff that drives you crazy, like not having a handout up on the perimeter, which was, I mean, you saw that one coming, you know. So he's a mediocre defender, but it feels like Brunson not being able to stay in front of his man or them targeting Brunson. That's like the first domino, and like that individual issue is directly connected with the team stuff. Is that fair to say?
I think it is all connected. Defense is connected. And I think anytime, you know, I think once you sense that Brunson's struggling, there's more help. You're trying to shrink the floor and then other things open up. I do think that's true, but I don't think that it's the only thing. I think, you know, there's been Brunson, I can deal with like Gabe Vincent hits him with a shoulder and hits a step back on him. Those you got to live with. And even the threes that guys catch, like I can think of the one Torian Prince three, and I thought there was one Vincent three tonight. They just shot over the top of him.
Yeah.
You got to live with that. That's just Jalen Brunson being 6 feet tall. But there's plays where he's over helping at the nail and Kyle Lowry blows by him and like breaks down. It's like Kyle Lowry can't move. Like you can't be like getting bull like that. There's stuff that you can accept from Jalen Brunson as a defender because that's built into who he is. And then there's the stuff that I think he's doing worse right now than he was doing early in the season. And I think it's partially because teams are really targeting it now. But I also think he just needs to be better. I think he's capable of being better than that. I also think though that you know there are a few plays that come to mind. There's a double drag screen where Bam and Kevin Love are screening. Now that's like a classic action that you know the Heat are going to run X amount of times in a game when they're playing that two big lineup. Kevin Love is wide open for three. You have to be prepared for that action and understand how you're handling it. Are you switching? How are you hedging? How are you dealing with the double drag? Are you staying with the ball handler? Like those are all things that need to be discussed and hashed out so that you're not confused on the action itself. Like that can't happen. Stuff that we're falling asleep off ball a lot. Corner threes are getting hit on us because our heads are turned where we're just not on a swivel enough, like just basic stuff. And then I think the centers who had a couple of great games recently, like of the last two have been really poor in terms of their pick and roll coverage. I just don't think it's been good and solid. Agreed. And I think it hasn't been aggressive enough. And so I think it's a whole lot of things. IQ, I don't think has been on point. And I hesitate to criticize him defensively, but like rotationally, we're so used to him being flawless and it has not been flawless of late. Grimes too often with a hand down or not quite eating up the space the way he has to against shooters. Josh Hart has gotten lost a lot off ball recently. They're running stuff for him while he's getting screened off and stuff like that. So I really think it's kind of running down the list, but I think they all have to kind of rededicate themselves to it.
It just popped into my mind because it came up during the halftime Zoom. When you don't have that one kind of shutdown perimeter defender to sick on whatever the opposing team's biggest threat is, from what I'm hearing you say, it's like you basically just like kind of you don't have the margin forever. And I think we've kind of, I think I've gotten spoiled because for two straight years now, the Knicks really they get to the point down the stretch of these seasons, even last season, which was a disaster. They were after the All-Star break, they were the best defense in the league, you know? So it's like they pull it together and like they get better defensively as the year goes along, not worse. And what's really frustrating is you can make it not, I don't want to say that tonight was like their best offensive night of the season, but like their offense was like real, like the passing I thought was exceptional tonight. Obviously, we got the Grimes game we got the RJ game we got. Brunson, other than the turnovers, which was just kind of weird, you know, he did his usual stuff. It was just Randall that was kind of off offensively, but like offensively, there's no problems with this team offensively right now. It's just the other end. It's strange.
Yeah, I would say Brunson, his decision making, especially in the third quarter, I thought where they both got a little ISO heavy there when I just felt
those
like
those three straight. Yeah,
if they moved the ball at all, it was like they were getting a good shot. And that's crazy to me. And that still surprises me how easily they get good shots now, but they do. And Brunson, look, the Heat are very long and they're aggressive. And sometimes Brunson can run into those when he gets too deep in the paint, doesn't have an outlet. He can get some bad turnovers that way. That was my only qualm, really, is a couple of isolations I thought they could have done without and the turnovers, which hurt. And the Heat got out in transition, especially in the first half, a lot.
Yes.
And that really hurt the Knicks because of those turnovers and some bad shots, too, that lead to those, basically, the fast breaks the other way.
Yeah. Trying to think if there's anything else before we get you out of here. Before we do personal injury report, moment of the game. The second unit, we should spend a second on them. I mean, I thought their stretch in the, what was it, the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, whatever. No, it was the beginning of the fourth quarter. Best stretch of the game. I mean, offensively, especially because the Heat were kind of making buckets too, but they got the team the lead back and like saw some good stuff from Obi Toppin, you know, saw some nice stuff from Josh Hart. You saw some really nice stuff from RJ Barrett. We should probably, before we get to the two segments, spend a moment to appreciate RJ Barrett, because I don't talk about him enough when he does good things. And I think that's people's complaint, is like, you kill him when he's bad, give him his flowers when he's good. Let's give him some flowers. Cause did he take 15 shots tonight? 16 shots tonight? It was not a lot of shots. However many shots? 13 shots tonight. So 26 points on 13 shots. That has to be one of five times in his career, if not fewer. I mean, it's definitely under 10 that RJ has finished with twice as many points as shots that he took. So like, there's definitely an argument that RJ should have gotten more shots in that game. If we're going to get this version of RJ Barrett, though, moving forward, I feel really good about the Knicks' chances, assuming they could clean up the defensive stuff.
Yeah, I love the variety he's playing with. I think that's been the takeaway for me during this stretch, is it's less of the put my head down, get to my left, hope that I can hit, you know, a lefty scoop shot, and, you know, we'll see what happens. He's mixing in Euros. He's mixing in a lot of right-handed moves. He's mixing in up fakes and up and unders. He's mixing in reverse layups, a little floater game, a little post game, like, just better variety, better decision-making. And to me, the stretch has been so encouraging and frankly, rejuvenating. Like, it's great to see him play like this. It's been, we've been waiting for this. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, going into the All-Star break, there was definitely a part of me that was like, and I think I may have said this even on the post game once or twice, where it's like, I think these next however many games it's been, 20, 22 games, 25 games, are going to decide what happens with RJ Barrett in New York. Because if he comes down the stretch and he plays like he did over the, like, in the pre-All-Star break, there's no question that he will be gone this summer. And that was just my opinion. That's what I figured. Like, they will not go into another year with that. But on the other hand, if he plays really well, it gets into some other, like, because if he plays well, that makes him more in demand, and then you could maybe think mm-hmm. it also seals the deal at the time. But at the very least, I have to think how he's played lately, and assuming it continues, and God willing, assuming it goes into the playoffs as well, that's going to change the calculus a little bit, and it's great. It's been great to see.
100%, and the luxury of this RJ Barrett, like, think about what Miami was doing right from the get go, and this is not something they did in the Knicks' last matchup. They decided we're putting Bam on Randall and Jimmy on Brunson. And like, we're just going to put our best defenders on their best players and everyone else can figure it out. And I thought the Knicks countered it well. And one of the ways they countered it is, okay, that means your third best defender, and it's Gabe Vincent in this case, is starting on RJ Barrett. Okay, well, that's a matchup we can exploit.
Yep.
And then having that third shot creator, when Brunson and Randall are dealing with a defense like this, is extremely valuable, assuming he plays with this kind of intelligence and maturity and confidence. And that's what you saw tonight. And yeah, it's a massive luxury to have a guy like that as your third scorer. And the way that Tibbs I was thrilled by this, was like, I was kind of getting nervous that he was falling into a default Josh Hart and IQ close.
Yep.
And I love both those guys. And IQ, I think, has been by far the best of the four this season, including Hart even. I just think he's been incredible this season. But like, as we've talked about before, those four guys who are fighting for those two spots provide very unique skill sets.
Yep.
And it's a weapon to be able to employ them at different points of the game and against different personnel. And I thought Tibbs really did a good job in that sense of like, you know what? Grimes had it going. RJ had it going. Let's let them close. And Hart and IQ can sit for this game and they'll have their game whenever, you know, it doesn't have to be set in stone. It shouldn't be set in stone because it's an advantage. And having RJ being able to do what he did tonight raises this team's ceiling significantly. And it's really exciting to see. So props to him.
All the props in the world. I'm happy. Last thing, and then we'll move on to personal injury report. Is you the list of things like you just rattled off? He has to be smart and still be confident, and it's like that. I feel like has been the tough thing to get both of those, because when he's ultra confident, you feel like maybe he's not always being smart, but sometimes if the confidence could go away when he is getting too hesitant. And it's like, that's a tough balance, especially for a young player, 22 years old. So, yeah.
And look, making a couple threes helps. It helps a lot.
Two straight games, multiple threes now.
Really good to see him knock down these open shots, because they do need that as well. RJ, the offense is nothing but encouraging. Everyone's playing pretty well offensively. IQ's in a little bit of a slump. I'm not worried about him. Everyone is playing well offensively. It's a matter of figuring out the defense. That's what they got to do.
Yeah, we just went through a lot of stuff that was not great about tonight. Obviously, the defense, you just mentioned quickly, he was 1 of 8, 1 of 5 from three. You know, Toppin ended up only 1 of 5. Like, they shot 51% from the field, 40% from three. Those are good numbers.
Plenty good enough.
Yeah, plenty good enough. But like, you know, they lose the game by 7. We talked about the refereeing. Like, this team is good. This team is solid. It's just like, again, you lose this game after you lose that Minnesota game. It's just the margin for error continues to go down. So now it's like, okay, at some point, I do believe whether it's the next Miami game, whether it's the Cleveland game, like this, I have a feeling this team's going to need to come up with one more big regular season win to secure what they want to secure. Okay.
For over 30 years, the law offices of Weiss and Rosenblum in New York City has been home to a team of award-winning, hard-hitting injury attorneys who have a long track record of 7-figure results. Whether you've been injured in a car accident, fall, construction accident, or other traumatic event, Weiss and Rosenblum will work tirelessly to maximize the award, regardless of the severity of your injury, and get you and your family the fair and just compensation you deserve. Call Weiss and Rosenblum today at 212-366-6100. Again, that's 212-366-6100, or visit weissandrosenblum.com for more information. No case is too big or too small. Personal attention to your matter is a priority. Once more, call 212-366-6100. Previous results do not guarantee future outcomes. If you think you might have a case, speak with a veteran attorney, not a rookie.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
What's up, Knicks fans? Power up for springtime with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. Get nutritious, chef-prepared meals delivered straight to your door, leaving you time and energy to tackle everything on your to-do list. Get Factor and not only skip the trip to the grocery store, but skip the chopping, prepping, and cleaning up too. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are ready in just 2 minutes, so all you have to do is heat and enjoy. No matter what your lifestyle, Factor has the meals to help you live it to the fullest with keto, calorie-smart, vegan, veggie, and protein-plus meals on the menu each week. Prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians, each meal has all the ingredients you need to feel satisfied all day long. With 34 chef-prepared, dietitian-approved weekly options, there's always something new to try. Plus, you can round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of more than 36 quick bites, smoothies, juices, and more satisfying add-ons. Looking to cut back on takeout? Get Factor instead. Not only is Factor cheaper, but meals are ready quicker than restaurant delivery. Just 2 minutes. Also, eating vegan or veggie is a snap with Factor. Each meal has all the ingredients you want and nothing you don't. And if you're looking to mix it up, you can add a protein to your vegan and veggie meals each week. Get Factor and enjoy clean eating without the hassle. Simply choose and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door. Don't hesitate. Head to factormeals.com/filmschool50 and use the code filmschool50 to get 50% off your first box. Again, that's factormeals.com/filmschool50 to get 50% off your first box. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit.
Personal injury. Oh, Andrew. Yes. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
GM AC.
What up, Benji? Long time no see.
Doesn't
great
like
job
the
on the
to the heat.
I'm going on Giancarlo's show tomorrow, so I kind of set myself up for a pretty fun Thursday evening. Can't wait for my appearance on the Miami Heat beats. For those who want to tune in for moral support, I'd appreciate it. I have two questions for both of you, and I want to preface, it's not the reason they lost the game. They're just observations I made regarding some substitution patterns. Josh Hart has become like the de facto, he will play no matter what. Mm-hmm. I actually thought we could have had more Quentin Grimes. He didn't check back in until they were down 12 and it was just to go small. He didn't check in for Hart. He checked in for Hart and Stein.
Yeah. By the way, I love that.
I did, but he also, it took Miami going small first. It was a reactive move.
No,
they took Kevin Love out,
but they had Bam out there the whole time.
Yeah.
But my point is like they had gone without Kevin Love to go to the four out.
Yeah.
Are you saying Grimes should have come in earlier for Hart?
But are you okay with the fact that like it's actually not two spots? It's really been RJ or Quickly.
Right. So I was speaking more. Closing the game, I agree. Hart is, I think, closed every game as far as I remember.
Yes.
But usually he's also closed every first half as far as I can remember. So that was even a step that he came out of the first half and Grimes finished, because Grimes has played just in the first and just in the third for a few games in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to see that. That's really what I was referring to. I agree that it shouldn't be Hart every night. And the Sacramento game comes to mind, actually, is one where I thought Grimes definitely should have played so he can guard Fox. In this case, the way Jimmy Butler was playing and was kind of pulverizing Grimes and forcing him into a bunch of fouls.
You thought he was pulverizing Grimes?
I thought pulverized everybody.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, Grimes was the main assignment. And Grimes did his best. He's given up a lot of size in that matchup. So I did understand why Hart was in that game. And then RJ played so well that you weren't going to. So unless you're going to go to that small lineup where you can play all of them, I think it's a hard decision. I do understand it. I don't know, John, how you feel about it.
I feel the same way. I mean, Josh Hart, how many times literally it's been every game since he's been here almost, where I've come on here and be like, Josh Hart, all he does is make winning plays. You know, tonight didn't make the winning plays that stood out, at least, that ended up winning.
He did make two threes.
Yeah, he made two threes. But, it's this is why I kind of always go back to when you watch a game and it's like your hindsight's always going to be 20/20 because the thing that needed to happen to get you the win didn't happen. And thus the alternative becomes the option that looks better in retrospect. But how many games have we, again, talked about where it's like, oh, look, Josh Hart doing three or four things in five possessions or six possessions that like turn the game around. It didn't happen tonight.
You know. I agree. Hindsight's 20/20. This was something on Playback we were calling for as it was happening. That Grimes needs to be back in the game.
Yeah. I think there are basketball reasons why Hart was right for that game, but I do understand the sentiment for
it. It was literally just a thought that because the defense was so bad, you had to match them shot for shot. And their most dependable 3-point shooter tonight was Quentin Grimes. You know, he's the one that got them back in the game late in the third when nobody could hit a shot. They were heavy in isolation. And it was like, well, maybe apparently, according to Kirk Goldsberry, the most dependable corner 3-point shooter in the lead, right corner 3-point shooter could get
pretty
hot.
Sick, and right? That was a shocking one to see.
Yeah.
And they need to look anytime, just give them that ball and let them shoot it. We've been saying it all year.
Yeah.
But the reason that these sorts of conversations about like, oh, how do you not get Grimes in there 2-3-4 minutes earlier or whatever it is it boils the game down to like that decision? When this game was about so much more than that.
I started this with, it's not the reason they lost the game. Yeah, I knew how this was going to go.
You did. Yeah. But,
I'm preparing you that when that comes up, no one is saying it's the reason they lost the game. They're saying, this is a thing. Do you give me your thoughts?
I understand it. An indictment
of the head coach.
What was your second thing, Andrew?
The Hartenstein foul, which was atrocious. Why didn't he challenge it? Which doesn't even go Fred Katz, you listen to these podcasts. This is probably not an interesting thing to do right now because the team is in playoff contention. Can you go find out what the replay process is, the review process is for the Knicks? Because they have a whole team sitting with iPads behind the bench. And if they see what we see, is it their job to notify Tibbs? Is it their job to notify Johnny Bryant so he can go notify Tibbs? Is that on Tibbs' front turning around every single possession to be like, do I challenge? No. And then turn back around because there's a basketball game going on. So the replay system sucks. I'm just curious. Why was that not like should we challenge this?
I think you're making it out to be a lot more complicated than it is. I think on a play like that, especially, and you could say the Mitch play too, although I'm not sure if that was challengeable, whatever. There is a part of it where it's like, how likely is it? Even if it was clear, like a bad call, how likely is it that is going to be overturned? You know? And if anything, and Josh Hart, funny you say that, Josh Hart. And again, talk about winning plays. Could you imagine if they had called a travel on Jimmy Butler when Josh Hart was trapping him there at the end, Knicks Muse, I think, tweeted it out that Jimmy Butler's pivot foot moved a few times and they ended up calling a foul that was not a foul. So like there's an instance where like, was that challengeable? That's the one that I would peg is like, why do you challenge that?
That's a possession. Like the reason I go to the Hartenstein one is because I thought that was like the replay showed Kevin Love literally bringing him down to the ground with him, and it led to a Brunson 3-pointer. So it's points as well as possession. Right. You know,
that's probably the best argument is it might have been 3+1, which is like as many. That's a ton of value in terms of like there's challenge value. That's like there's that one where you could get potentially, although I don't know if the timing would have worked out, and that's something that they would have looked at. Hopefully, is whether they would have gotten the end one potentially if it happened at the same time. I'm not positive, and I'm not looking at it right now. I looked at it twice. Although Love does come up on Hartenstein's like neck area, I'm not positive the Hartenstein was stationary before that. So the question was, so even if Love made it an illegal act after, they might have upheld the Hartenstein like slight side-to-side movement there, and then you lose your challenge. So I don't know if that's what went into it. I'm not looking at the play this second. I agree, though, that something you can question based on the potential value, assuming, again, that the timing was correct.
Last thing I want to say on challenges, I think it's tough because I imagine, obviously I'm not a coach, but I imagine the last thing you would want to happen as a coach is a play that clearly, if you had a challenge and you used it, it would be overturned and you have lost the challenge because you have done it.
Late in the game.
You know? I think that is why he's hesitant with challenges.
Right. Again, that's true for sure. I just think depending on value, because the chances of a 4-point value late in the game are very, very, very slim, mm-hmm. even if it's later in the game. So all these calculations should be, I hope, going that. And that's a good question to ask, Andrew, is like, what is the process?
What's the process? I agree with John's sentiment. Is Tibbs like, I might need my challenge later. I want to save it. Yeah, it's so blatant like that, is it?
It's also tough in terms of time. Like, they're just inbounding the ball, right? So you have to do it in like 5 seconds. Also.
Right.
That makes it very hard. So, again,
they lost the game because of the defense, the officials, and Jimmy Butler was in demigod mode. I'm not blaming the coach. I'm simply just saying
around, some observations. And talking.
Okay,
and
I want to know.
Real quick, hold on, John. I have something to say for Jimmy Butler, who doesn't know who I am and is never going to care who I am. In the words of Michael Jordan, it's really easy to talk shit when you're up. Let me hear that talk when it's 0-0, okay, buddy?
Jimmy Butler, I'll say this right now. Jimmy Butler can say whatever the fuck he wants. That man.
Okay, but I will say that I
every
liked.
Every right.
I liked Randall's energy on.
Yeah,
great.
Because he that. Was. I did. I didn't like the tech. He's getting too many techs and like he needs to chill. But I did like. Look, man, we beat you twice. We're ahead of you in the standings. You're like whatever seed you are. Like you're strutting around and you deserve. And you're right, John. He's like, he has that kind of pedigree and he's that good. I'm not saying no. I do like Randall saying, like, hey, man, chill for a sec. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
We're in a good spot. And I just liked it. I liked how that felt at the time. I felt like the team appreciated it. I don't know. I was into that.
I'm all for that. All I want to know is because he was chirping at someone in particular, and I guarantee
in
you
the
that
stands or on the bench. I couldn't tell.
Oh no, certainly in the bench. There was I guarantee you there was a Nick, someone wearing Nick something or someone that he knew that was a Nick fan or something that he kept going back to. I was paying attention to it. He was looking at the same place in the court every time. And it was at least four or five times.
Wasn't it the camera? He was looking at it was MSG camera.
No, it was towards I could if I drew out the court, I could show you where exactly he was looking. The same place every time. There's someone sitting in the stands, and I would love to know who that person
is. We need to go investigate.
I don't know. I don't know.
But let's just do moment of the game now. It's that fan getting let in for attendance for tonight's game.
Sure.
It's me. The fan that John's talking about that Jimmy Butler took it personally out on.
Yeah.
It's me agreeing to go on a Miami Heat pod, which of course set up perfectly for me to go on after a Knicks loss. And then I actually think it's fitting. Moment of the game is a tribute at the beginning because it's the moment I got most emotional beforehand when you go from, and this is, I cannot believe this is where I'm going to end this, between Clyde talking about his former teammate, who is now gone, and then the Miami Heat with a very touching in-arena tribute. Classy job by that organization. And that's the last nice thing I will say about the Miami Heat. So. Oh, that's... So, okay, I figured out who it was. He wasn't doing it to someone. It was Dwayne Wade.
Oh, yeah, it probably was Wade.
Dwayne Wade was sitting courtside, and he was putting on a show for Dwayne Wade.
It might have been Wade. Wade was sitting in that area.
Yeah, like, it might have been.
I think it was Wade.
All right.
Good call.
I don't know. I guess maybe, but it seemed like it was more venomous than, but that's how Jimmy rolls. So
yeah,
it's a venomous man.
The guy's an oddball. Apparently the Heat turnaround is because they lost a game they should have won. And he blasted Nickelback in the locker room for like hours and hours and was singing every word. And since then they're like, we cannot lose because then Jimmy's going to blast Nickelback in the locker room again.
He's my favorite non-Nick in the NBA. I don't know if it's close.
He's good, man.
I'm shocked that someone who plays for Pat Riley is your favorite.
And when he's making outside shots, he's unstoppable.
Oh, he's unstoppable. And when he's getting calls, like he
always gets calls.
You go to
root for that guy?
He always gets calls.
You go to XJ's favorite stat at EPM. He's third in the NBA this season at EPM.
Shit, because all the guy does everything. Every moment, every second he's on the floor leads to winning. That's all it does. It's a winning basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
The epitome of a winning basketball player. Anyway,
relax, John.
Seriously.
Oh my God. I could sit here for an hour and talk about how Jimmy Butler is the epitome of a basketball player. What he did against LeBron in the finals, what was it, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Sick.
Only thing I've ever seen like that in sports is Terrell Owens coming back and playing in the Super Bowl and doing what he did after he had no business walking. But yeah, anyway, I'm off track. Sorry. All right, you want to do a quick injury report that has no injuries in it?
The Knicks don't have any injuries, but shout out to Barry Weiss and who's the other? Rosenblum?
Barry Weiss and Amy Rosenblum. Amy. Shout out to, yes, thank you to our sponsors. Getting to this a little late. Apologies. Call them today if you think you have a case. 212-366-6100. Again, 212-366-6100. Or visit WeissandRosenblum.com for more information. Again, if you think you have a case, call them for an absolutely free consultation. If they take your case, they will not get paid unless you do. Go with a veteran, not a rookie. Prior results don't guarantee future outcomes. But again, give them a call. 212-366-6100. Here's my question for the personal injury report. Knicks play tomorrow. Here's how much they pushed it tonight. Randall played 36 minutes. Brunson, 37. Barrett, 36. Hart, 29. You guys concerned they'll have enough legs for tomorrow against a tough Orlando team?
Yes. Oh, concerned? No.
Concerned. That's what
I think they'll have enough tomorrow night against an Orlando team.
Yeah, they better. I wonder generally if it's a tired team sometimes of late, and I wonder if that's contributing. It's really hard. So it's a hard thing to assess from afar, and when you're watching, but it is the case that sometimes being a little bit slow, being a bit even mentally off in terms of your defensive focus, it could just be a result of fatigue. And this Randall's played a whole lot of games, and you know, it's worth a conversation. We'll see. I hope they have it tomorrow. They need it. Big win.
Big game for them. And I was just going to add the Randall thing. Speaking of Fred Katz, shout out to him for his article today. Playing all those games is probably a reason why he's going to wind up getting all NBA. Yeah. Play games if you're a basketball player. The only other thing I will say is after tomorrow, assuming the Knicks can get into the top six, they will play 7 games in 21 days if you factor
in
the play.
That's a beautiful thing for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
that's awesome.
They got to get there.
Benji, so before you go, we could probably work this out just like offline, but do you want to go 50-50 on a Jimmy Butler jersey for John? First birthday?
Don't get me that.
No, I'll just get it. I'll get him the Butler jersey when they trade for him.
So I was about to say, wait until they trade for him.
Got it. Okay. Because that's going to happen. And you're right.
I obviously heard the segment from today's pregame pod. He said exactly what I've been saying. You really think Pat Riley's just going to be like, oh, no, I'm not dealing you to the Knicks if the Knicks make the best deal? Come on.
He literally said the opposite and said, if the Knicks have the best offer, you would think about it, but you have to think of the pushback you would get.
You think Pat Riley gives a fuck what the fans think?
Yes, I do. Yes, everybody does. Everybody, you have to consider what your market's going to do as a result.
For the especially 127 loyal Heat fans.
Okay. See, this is where the New Yorkers talking down to South Florida, which I know I'm the pot calling the kettle black here, but still, like,
you could sense how angry those few dedicated Heat fans were when they were getting drowned out by Knicks cheers in the arena tonight.
Yeah,
because there's always more Knicks fans than Heat fans down there. It is a disgraceful fan base.
There's more Knicks fans. No, okay, I'm not going to push back on that. There's it more Knicks fans in Orlando. There's more Knicks fans in Atlanta. There's more Knicks fans like everywhere, John. We travel. But like, it's more comments on Knicks fans than it is Miami Heat fans.
But they have wasted the preeminent Eastern Conference, at least, basketball franchise of the last since Riley went there. On a fan base that they don't deserve that team. That's a joke.
See, and that's how you reverse psychology, Benji. I got John to make fun of South Florida sports fans.
You guys have been together a long time.
Yeah, it works. All right, let's get to the Super Chats. Thank you. He's so mad at me right now.
The moment of the game was the intro?
Yeah. Well, so do you have like a specific play? Oh,
the only great play was the Brunson to Randall lob, which was an insane catch.
Yes.
Finished by Randall. Legit
threw,
insane.
Threw it behind him. Yeah.
That was a wildly incredible athletic feat. I just wanted to shout that play out because it was really cool. But that's about it. That's all I got.
There was also that possession where they got two offensive rebounds and a steal on one possession that ended with Grimes layup.
That was good too. Absolutely. Good too. All right, guys.
All right. Thanks, Benji. Fun.
Thank you, Benji.
Stop bickering the two of you. Bye.
Old married couple, we are.
All right, shall we?
I love you.
I love you too.
There we go.